This is the State of Things from the Spirit Square studio of WFAE in Charlotte. I'm Frank Stachow. City of Charlotte has opened its arms to the Democratic National Convention, allowing the DNC to take over the uptown area. About 35,000 people are attending the convention. Charlotte is extending itself, of course, to accommodate all of them. But many of the city workers are feeling stretched thin. They're making demands. They are making demands from the city council for better working conditions. Dante Strabino is a field organizer for UE Local 150, the North Carolina Public Sector Workers Union. He's with us today. Chris Miller is a reporter for WBT radio station. He's been covering the story. I want to welcome both of you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Chris, give us an update. Tell us a little bit more about this story. What's going on here?
Beginning, I believe, in early August, the local sanitation workers mostly, but they are a group of city employees, began demonstrating outside the government center here in Charlotte where the city council meets. The council has been on basically a summer break for the past month or so, so they've not been really any city officials to have a direct conversation with. And what these workers want, as you mentioned, was to have a discussion about their pay, their working conditions, and it has been a very hands-off response from the city council. They have kept them at arm's length, especially with the city manager's office. The city manager runs the city, the day-to-day operations, and what the city has said, and this was a point that the mayor drove home when he was confronted with this issue a few weeks ago, was that the state law says they just can't engage in collective bargaining, not just with a specific sector of workers in the public sector, but any public unions entirely. A few years ago, there was an effort federally to have public safety workers unionize, and City Hall, at the direction of then-Mayor Pat McCrory, opposed that. They signed a resolution saying that they opposed any effort to unionize public safety workers. So City Hall has been very non-responsive to this issue so far.
Dante, what are the conditions? What do the workers want?
Well, workers have been, working, more and more, longer hours, been squeezed. The city of Charlotte, we talked about, has grown exponentially over the past 15, 20 years. It's just blossomed. But the number of city workers has not, working longer and longer routes. Many of the workers coming in, 6, 7 in the morning, working until almost dusk every night. And the workers are squeezed. And of course, this creates tensions. There's unfair disciplines. For instance, while during the Democratic National Convention, they're working, 7 days of 12-hour shifts every day. And we've seen before the DNC, that you run over a curb and you could get a 30-day suspension without pay, which can be crippling. You can lose your home. Or many workers, have been given 6-month probations, where then if you come in late or if you do some other minor infraction, you're fired. And in fact, there's been several firings of workers. And so the workers are basically just calling. And on top of that, the price of goods, of consumer goods, of food, of childcare, of housing, of rent have gone up. But the workers' wages have stayed stagnant.
Well, I'm guessing, and forgive me for interrupting, but just the overtime, for instance, I'm guessing it's compulsory. You don't have much choice in that, right?
Yes, you must work it.
And is there bonus pay for that, or do you just...
Oh, yeah, you get time and a half.
Yeah. So we invited the city manager on. They're no longer talking about this. They're not giving interviews on this subject, but they released a statement as well. So here's what they say. North Carolina law prohibits local governments, including the city of Charlotte, from engaging in collective bargaining. City policy, however, does recognize the right of its employees to belong or not to belong to a labor union. The city of Charlotte uses a research-based approach for determining market rates for its various job classifications, offers all of its employees what it believes is a fair and competitive compensation and benefits package. Regarding work hours related to the DNC, the needs are unrelated to any reductions in force or layoffs, as none have occurred in recent memory. To the extent that employees will be required to work overtime, and those will be mostly public safety employees, they will be compensated in accordance with Fair Labor Standards Act. So this is the statement from the city manager, Dante. The fact is they've determined a fair wage. People have accepted it. They are now working at this wage. The market has spoken.
workers, I mean, like a good buddy of mine is works in the water and sewer, and you can talk to mostly any city worker. In order to pay to support your family, you're forced to work 60, 70 hours a week. And so you're working, you know, working longer and longer hours. The basic fair wage, the hourly wage, needs to be increased. It's not a living wage. Workers can't support their families. And in fact, this is a laughable statement, this quote-unquote market rate research that was done. They compared the city of Charlotte's wages to Fayetteville, to other smaller cities that are much smaller. And they determined that the workers should get a 3%. And when they gave the 3%, then they then said, well, it's based on merit. And so many of the workers, they're you know, basing on giving a performance evaluation, are getting nothing. You know, so they again seeing the price of everything going up and to pay for their to keep their house running, but their income is not increasing. But meanwhile, the city manager Kurt Walton was given two raises this year, you know, over $20,000. In fact, this year, and his when they compared the market rate for the city manager, they didn't use the same cities they did to compare the city workers. In fact, they used much larger cities. You know, cities that have somewhat unionized. So, you know, this research is very subjective, and it's based on supporting, you know, continuing to drive the workers down.
Chris Miller, I don't know how closely you cover the city and its budget and all of that, but Dante's saying
very closely.
So now you know that I'm going to ask you that the city itself has grown a lot. Can you tell from the personnel budget and city workers whether or not it's kept pace?
The size of the workforce has obviously increased as the city continues to grow. When we had the budget crises of 3 years ago, the city managed to avoid layoffs. The city has been very prudent with its money management over the years. The Mecklenburg County, on the other hand, did see a huge reduction in employees. Same thing with Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. The city managed to avoid all of that. And the budget recently, as Dante alluded to, he's right, the pay raise that the city manager, and this is added to kind of the dissatisfaction of the employees who are protesting, it did grant a 3% raise for city employees. There were some higher raises as they adjusted the public safety pay plan. It was determined to be unsustainable over time. But employees did get a raise for the first time, and I think it's been 3-4 years that they received a raise, while the city manager, as Dante alluded to, did receive a 6% raise that it was approved in July, and it was the second raise he has received in the past four budget cycles. His total pay rose to just shy of $258,000. And in recent years, there has been an effort at City Hall to get the city manager's compensation on par with some of the executives of the public-private partnerships in town. For example, our Center City Booster Group, Mecklenburg County's management, the school system superintendent salary. So they have been trying to raise his salary because they like the city manager and they want to keep him. So that's while employees have been getting a much smaller increase, they've been raising the city manager's pay.
So, Dante, there may be a disparity between what the top officials elected and appointed in this city are getting and the people who are keeping the streets clean and safe. But what about this other question, prudent management? The fact that they kept the budget tight, they kept it lean, meant they didn't have to lay off workers.
Well, sure. But again, you know, the question of the growth of the city, the impact fees of these new developments coming in, you know, the way, and in fact, they're hiring more and more private contractors. You know, they've contracted out recycling. You know, they've contracted out, for instance, many of the water and sewer lines that are built into new developments. The new lines that are being built by contractors who are often using substandard materials. They're supposed to use copper wire, you know, to go into water and sewer, but they'll use substandard cheaper goods. And then, in fact, the city has to come back in later and redo and replace, or if the water line busts or the sewer line busts, then the city has to, you know, pick up the tab to go fix it, because these contractors they're hiring to do this work are not meeting the standards that public workers would.
Now, what about the law? The law says that public workers cannot organize or collectively bargain in this state. That's the law. Sure. What kind of leverage do workers have in this city?
Well, workers run the city. You know, the city would not be as running. The cities would not be. The waters wouldn't be if it weren't for the city. So the city workers have a lot of power when they come together and they say, you know, we need changes. So workers, when they get together and organize, we've been picketing for 4 weeks. When workers get together on the job and say enough is enough. You know, in fact, in Greenville, North Carolina, there was a strike, you know, for 2 days in November. The workers didn't go to work, you know, and in Raleigh in September 2006, for 2 days. Ryerson City workers said, we're had enough is enough, and we stopped work. And so workers, when we organize, they actually have power over their working conditions and can build a more democratic workplace where workers want a voice on the job. Workers know how to run the city. Workers know what's required to run the city and should have a voice at sitting down with management to speak about that. The law does not prohibit management or even city council to meet and confer. In fact, we have that in Raleigh. We have that in Chapel Hill. We have that in Durham, where the city council acknowledges our union, sits down with the union, the democratic elected officials, the workers, and talks about working conditions and how to make it better so the workers can have a voice and run the city better. We also have payroll dues deductions so workers can have resources, can research for themselves what are the market rates, can research for themselves what are the better ways to run the city and compare with other places. So having payroll dues deductions so they can have voluntary union dues come out so they can build an organization to have some power then to begin to have a voice at the table.
So whether or not you sit down at the table or voluntarily agree as the city to sit down and meet collectively, you don't have to, but you can if you want. I would think leverage has everything to do with that. And of course, then if you're talking about the market, the question of unemployment and underemployment becomes very important. Do I have to talk to these folks? Because there's a lot of unemployed people out there. What's the situation here in Charlotte in terms of unemployment and underemployment and the availability of people to do these jobs if the people in them don't want to, Chris?
Well, the most recent unemployment statistics for Mecklenburg County and the Charlotte metro area had it higher than the statewide average and the national average. Has been fluctuating around 9% for the past couple of months. It held steady, and it's been in the 9 to 9.5% range. And I'm sure the city could say that there is a and they actually have begun hiring. There was a hiring freeze the past few budget cycles, and they have started to unfreeze those positions. That's how they managed to avoid layoffs. They just froze positions and didn't fill them. Now that things are looking a little better for the city's coffers, that they have started to hire again. And I'm sure they could, if there was some pushback, if it came to push and shove with a labor group, that they could say that there are plenty of unemployed people out there who would like to have that. They have not come out and said that, obviously, but that's a tactic they could take, I'm sure.
It's interesting, in this political season, we're going to hear a lot about jobs and creating jobs. We hear it in the state. We're going to hear it. We've heard it in both conventions. But, Dante, when it comes to a place where workers can't really organize, the quality of those jobs, I guess, becomes an important thing, and the availability of a cheap labor source becomes actually a thing to brag about in the state. That's an attractive feature, I guess, if you can make it let businesses know it's cheap to operate here.
Right. I mean, you know, Governor Perdue brags that she's created all these jobs. If you look at these jobs, these private sector jobs, and the millions of dollars of incentives that the taxpayers have paid to attract them here, these are jobs that are, you know, basically minimum wage, very low wage, no benefit jobs. So then, you know, the amount, you know, to support your family and to contribute to the economy. And then it's to do what? What kind of commodities are you building? What we're demanding is a federally funded public jobs program. You know, they've been bailing out $20 trillion. $20 trillion with the capital T has been bailed out to the central banks in Europe and the United States. That is huge amounts of money. If they even put in $1 trillion or $2 trillion, they could create 30 or 40 million jobs, which are needed in public infrastructure, like the Works Progress Administration that Roosevelt did in the 30s to bring the country out of the economy. It's not investing in banks. The trickle-down does not work. We need to put money directly into creating public service jobs, to build more schools, to build more hospitals, to fix the roads and the bridges, to build art centers like was done in the 30s and 40s. Those kind of things, those can directly meet the needs of the people with the services, but also can directly employ millions of people. And there's money in the federal government that can do that. And it can also help to assist, you know, the overworked and underappreciated workers in the public, whether it's state mental health workers, whether it's teachers, whether it's water and sewer, sanitation, city workers. You know, if there was a federally funded public jobs program, it could directly affect much of this.
Dante, I can hear the critics say, look, if you would just to get that money, you're going to have to tax us and then send it to Raleigh, or you're going to have to send it to Washington. Why take the money out of Mecklenburg County where we could spend it here, tax it, and send it to Raleigh and send it to Washington, D.C.? You're robbing us. You're not making us any richer.
We don't need to increase the taxes at all anymore. In fact, there's plenty of money in the public budgets, particularly at the federal level, that are being spent, you know, in endless wars, and are being spent, you know, to build prisons at the state level, and are being spent, you know, to bail out banks. You know, there's trillions of dollars that is in the public domain, whether it's federal, state, city, county government, they can go directly into employing more workers to get work done, to provide services, and to create employment.
Chris, what's the sense that you have that this is an important item on the City Council agenda?
Well, because I said that they've been on a summer break, we haven't really had that much of a discussion at City Hall about it. The workers did show up recently at a recent meeting and made their presence known. They've been getting more and more vocal because the council meeting sessions are cranking up again. I'm sure this issue will be coming up. The city manager, the council did ask the manager, Kurt Walton, for him to look at the issue and report back to them. If he has done that review, it has not been made public yet, and we'll find out soon what he has had to determine about this issue with the sanitation workers.
Dante, what's next for you and the group?
We're demanding a municipal workers' bill of rights, where basically, like, there's a minimum wage. There should be minimum working standards that the city and the state government can. In fact, there was a state bill for a mental health workers' bill of rights, State Bill 287, that we introduced, and we're introducing for an ordinance for Charlotte to pass a city workers' bill of rights around safety, around working conditions, pay and benefits, around negotiating meet and confer, and a payroll dues deduction for the city workers. We're going to keep organizing. Many city workers have been joining the union. They're continuing to pick and organize every week. We're continuing to put pressure on the city until they meet with the workers and address the demands of fairness and justice.
I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Dante Strabino is a field organizer for UE Local 150, the North Carolina Public Sector Workers Union, and Chris Miller, a reporter for WBT. Thank you both for being on the program
today.
Thanks
so much
for having
us, Frank.
Well, that's our program for today. And for this week from the Democratic National Convention, we're going to be back in Durham tomorrow. We are here in Charlotte today, and we want to thank our colleagues at WFAE, in particular Joby Sprinkle and Dale Spear. And thank you for listening to The State of Things. Of course, you know you can go to our website, stateofthings.org, if you want to hear a past program or send us a message. State of Things produced by Alex Granados and Sean Wen. Robin Copley is the technical director. Al Wadarski is down here in Charlotte with us. Managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.